we tell one another we love you. Because in the scripture, we're commanded to do that, is to love one another. How many of you have been reading through the Bible this week? Who's been doing it? Carolyn, stand up here. Now, tell me how you've been reading through. Have you been listening through the Bible?
I've read the Bible every day, probably for 40 or 50 years, because I made a vow to God that I would do that. Oh, so, yeah. Boy, I keep that vow. That one I can keep. Sometimes I tell God I'm going to eat less, I fail. But I can certainly read
Me
the
too.
Bible every day. Now, I don't read enough to finish a Bible in 1 year. I did that once with Tom Sharp's class. But I do read it faithfully every...
Cover to cover.
Every day. And okay. it helps me. I do it different times. I don't have any special time. I feel like I'm in touch with God all the time. I pray Amen. Throughout the day. I ask Amen. For things. I thank God. But I do read it every day. And it might just be a short section. You know, my Bible has sections. Mm-hmm. It may just be that. But I read in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Sometimes I pick something else. Also, like Psalms, I read commentaries every day. And it really, really helps me to get through my life.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Who else is reading through the Bible? Come on, don't be shy. Who else? I know some of you are... Come over here, David. Come over where you can... Now, David's reading through the Bible, too. Now, a lot of people last week agreed you're going to read through the Bible every day, so don't be shy. David, how are you reading through the Bible?
I just read... usually a chapter a day, sometimes more.
So did you start in Genesis first of the year?
I have done that, read front to back. This time around, I started in the New Testament. And this morning I read Matthew 24. So
that's a challenging passage. Yeah, great. All right. Thank you, Dave, for sharing. Who else is reading through the Bible? Stand up. Your knee's better now. You can stand up. This guy just had surgery. Tell me how you're reading through the Bible. Are you listening through the Bible or reading through the Bible?
We have it on tape and follow along, you know, word for word. It's been pretty easy because I've been off work for about 7 weeks, but I go back next week, but we'll carve out some time, you know, in the evenings for it.
Is that hard for you to do?
Now that I'm not working?
Yeah.
No.
Much easier when you're not working, right? Okay, thank you. Very good. Anybody reading the Bible as you go to work? Anybody, you're listening to the Bible as you go to work? Not reading while you're going to work. Listening as you go to work. Anybody else? Got a bunch of shy people. How many? I'm not going to call on anybody else. Raise your hand if you read the Bible this week like you promised you would. Okay, we got a lot of people. That's great. I appreciate that. I want to encourage you, if you haven't started, you can start now. There's instruction in your bulletin of how you can listen through the Bible in a year. So I hope that you'll take advantage of that. Well, I'm going to start a new series today, and it's really important to me. And it's on parenting. And I hope that you will try to be faithful in coming. If you can't be here... we have the messages and message material on our website, ourbeulah.com. It's easy to find. But I really am trying to work hard at giving you instruction about how to do parenting because we live in a dark world. It's a tough one out there. It's a hard time. And so I hope that you'll pray for me as we do that. This morning, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 13, you can turn there. There's a couple of things I want to tell you as we begin. First of all, I don't know much about parenting. So, sorry, I'm going to do a series on parenting, but I don't know much about parenting. And that's just my confession up front. I don't know much about parenting. I've done some of it, or maybe some people call what I did parenting, but I really do make the confession I don't know much about it. But I also want to say to you that God knows a lot about it. And I am going to tell you what God says about it, not what I think about it. And I intend for you to hold my feet to the fire on that statement. I am going to spend my time over the next few weeks telling you what God says about how to do parenting. And so that's going to be my out. I confess I don't know much about it, but I'm going to tell you how to do parenting because God tells you a lot about how to do parenting. Now, that's the first thing I want to tell you. Second thing I want to tell you is, you know, I had a birthday last month, and you all were so nice, sending me cards and all that. Thank you so much. But my wife had a birthday this week. Oh, yeah, I'll give her a big how you do about that. Now, I've now lived a long time, according to the scripture, it's a long time. And I look back on my life, and you know, sometimes you take things for granted. You know what I mean? And that's a terrible thing to do because that's one of the signs of disrespect, is taking things for granted. But now that I take the time, I look back on my life, the best gift I got in my entire lifetime, I'm 70 years old, my best gift in my entire life is my wife. Can you hear me? All right, great. So you should be have your Bible at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, and I'm going to do what's called expound on the Bible. And what that means is I tell you what God says, not what I think. That's very important. That's the difference between expository preaching and another kind of preaching. Well, I won't say what it's called. When you exposit the Bible, you tell people what the Bible says, not what your opinion is. And I work at that constantly, week after week after week, arduously. And I especially intend to do that in this series, is to take my time and tell you how God parents. Now, it's important for you to understand that God is a parent. You do know that, right? I mean, he tells us to call him Father. He is our Father. He is our parent. He calls us children. As a matter of fact, God says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. And that reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So I come to you this morning declaring to you, number one, that God is not like any other God. Say amen. Amen. And that is a very important statement. There is no God like our God. And when I say that there is no God like our God, I'm quoting Scripture. It says in the Bible, there is no God like our God. There is no parent like our parent. He is very unique. As a matter of fact, there is a word in the Bible for being different or unique, distinguished, and that word is holy. God says, I am holy, and I want you to be holy. What does that word holy mean? Well, it sounds like such a religious word, but it means to be different like God. That's what holy means, to be different like God. I'm going to challenge you over the next few weeks for you to be different like God as a parent. God is your parent. God is our parent. He says in the Old Testament that he has children, and he demonstrates in the Old Testament how to be a parent. And he does that in the New Testament. Not only does he model parenting, but he gives us direct, explicit statements about how to parent. And so we can have confidence when we turn to the Word of God and we can see our Almighty Parent, how he does it. And then he invites us to do the same thing. So I come to you this morning with a dare. A friendly dare. I dare you to parent like God. I'm challenging you. I'm throwing it down before you this morning. I dare you to try to parent like God parents. Now, if you do that, I'm going to warn you that you'll be very different. You won't be like the community standard. You won't be like the other parents that live in your neighborhood. As a matter of fact, you will look really weird because God is really weird, because He's holy. He's different. And so when I throw this dare out to you and I dare you to parent the way that God parents, I warn you up front that you won't be doing what other parents do if you listen to what the Word of God says. I underline again that I don't come to you with my advice about how to be a good parent. That would be a disaster. I come to you with God's advice about how to be a parent. The disagreements that you have and the offenses that you have as a result of what you hear, your problems are going to be with God. I invite you to challenge me at any statement that I make in this series to say, well, you just gave your opinion. That wasn't what God says. And if you catch me doing that, and you may catch me doing that because I'm quite opinionated. If you catch me doing that, I will repent. I will repent to you, and I will repent before the people of God. I'm very serious about what I'm talking about. God is our Father in heaven. We are even invited to call Him the intimate name for Father, which is Abba, which in the English we would say Daddy. And when we address God, we are invited by the Lord to call Him Daddy, an intimate, close relationship. So I'm going to ask you this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, to notice one paragraph of many, many, many paragraphs in the Bible about parenting, how God parents and how we ought to parent. 1 Peter, the whole book, is a very distinguished book because it's totally about how to live successfully as a Christian in this fallen world. We live in a fallen world, as we heard in the prayer this morning, and amen to that. We live in a fallen world. This is a tough time to live and grow children. It's a very difficult time. The book of 1 Peter is a how-to book of how to live the Christian life in this dirty fallen world. And so I'm glad that we come to a paragraph that talks about child rearing in the midst of that. And so I'm going to read, and if you like, you can read aloud with me. It says this. This is from the New King James. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He called you, He is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Father, bless your word. Open our hearts. Do a miracle. Show us how to parent. We need your help today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How God does it. I'm going to give you some principles, and today we'll probably only get to two, so this will be probably a two-part because I want to make sure that I take the time to explain it as well as I possibly can. The first principle about parenting the way God parents is train your children to take responsibility for getting ready. It's simple, isn't it? Train your children to take responsibility for getting ready. Now, that's what he says in the very first part. He says, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope upon the grace. God is training you, and he is training me to take initiative. Parent like this, because this in this training, he says, prepare your mind for service. Now, that phrase, prepare your mind for service, is a phrase from the easy read version of the Bible, but it's the same passage. As a child of God, our Father expects you to take the initiative in preparing your future. God expects you, Christian, to take initiative to grow up. It's not my responsibility to grow you up. It's not anyone else's responsibility to grow you up either. It's your responsibility. Now, I'm talking to you like a parent. I said those things before, and I didn't even know they were biblical. It's your responsibility to pick your socks up out of the floor. It's your responsibility. No one should have to tell you. Have you ever said that? No one should ever have to tell you to do this or that. Have you ever said that? Well, that's biblical. Because the Bible says that you should take initiative as a child. You should learn that. And parents, you should teach them that. Practice getting yourself ready. Now, God, our wise Father, expects us to get ourselves ready rather than Him getting us ready. And parents, I invite you to leverage this and say it every morning and say it every day. And tell your children it's your responsibility to get yourself ready. And of course, there's an age appropriateness to that. As soon as a child is able to do a task, make that task their responsibility. As soon as a child is able to do a task, make that task their responsibility. Don't you think it's odd if someone is 13 years old that their mother is standing behind them in the bathroom scrubbing their teeth? There are people who do that. It is really important to understand that when a child is able to do a task, that you give them the responsibility to perform that task in the future. That's good parenting. And the reason I say that is because that's how God parents. And that's what he means when he says, gird up your the loins of your mind. If you were in Rome in Peter's day, and someone said to you, gird up the loins of your mind, you'd say, what? Gird up the loins of your mind? What does that mean? Well, to gird up your loin was a very common phrase in the first century. Everyone, practically everyone, wore a tunic. You know what a tunic is? It kind of looks like a dress. It's usually white and it goes down to the ground and it's one piece. And when you got ready to go to school or you got ready to go to work or you got ready to be involved in an athletic exercise, what you would do is you would reach down to the ground and you would get the bottom of your tunic and you would pull it up and you would tuck the bottom of it in your waistband. And that's how you would gird up your loin. Why? Because it's encumbering to have this cloth around you when you're trying to exert yourself. It's hard to run, it's hard to work. And so if you show up at the shop and you're employed at the shop and the manager there looks at you and you do not have your loin girded, in other words, that piece of cloth stuffed there, he would say, doesn't look to me like you're ready to work. Has anyone ever said that to you? Well, it wasn't because you didn't have your cloth girded. It's because maybe another reason. But in that day, If you saw someone in the marketplace and you were just leisurely walking through town and you saw someone whose tunic extended all the way to the ground, you knew without asking that that person is just strolling, is just being leisurely. But if you're walking through town and you see someone and their garment is tucked into their waistband, what do you know? You know right up front that that person's working or they're at school or they're exerting themselves. Those who did that, who girded themselves, they were working. So what's the implication? What's Peter saying? Gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready to work. You don't work until you gird up your mind. Get ready. Get yourself ready to work. When I'm in a classroom, I expect the children at the very beginning, especially if I'm the teacher, by the time we get very far into the year, they already know what to do as soon as they come in the room. They know where the materials are. They know what the lesson is. It says on the board what page to turn to. And we start to work immediately. I don't get up and say, does anybody need to sharpen their pencil? Mr. Jones, can I go to the bathroom? You just got here. You teachers know what I'm talking about. They need to be ready to go when they sit down. They need to know what to do, and I need to start instructing because we don't have time to waste. We're supposed to be working. They're supposed to be learning. I'm supposed to be teaching, and we're supposed to be engaged in that. So when Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind, he says, when you show up, be ready. Now, parents, what that means is you need to teach your children to initiate themselves to be ready. That's how God parents. And that's what you should teach them. This is the first great principle. It's so simple, isn't it? But it's so important. When God says, gird up the loins of your mind, he's saying, get yourself ready to work. You take the initiative. Do you understand, parents, what God is telling you? I dare you, parents, to be like this. Expect your children to take the initiative to do what they need to do. Train them early to do this. Prepare them each day, each week, all of life. They should learn to take the initiative. Your job is to show and expect your children to initiate their own readiness for the time ahead. Now, if your child is in the 10th grade and you need to wake her up to get her ready for school, there may be a problem. What would the problem be? It's not your job to wake a 10th grader up. Because God says you're supposed to be teaching them to initiate to do the things that are responsible. By the time you're in the 10th grade, surely you know how to set an alarm clock. Surely. If your 5th grader needs to be told to brush their teeth, there may be a problem. Because do you really need to tell a 5th grader to brush their teeth? I mean, they've been doing it for a while now, right? You see what I'm telling you? Now, I'm not telling you my opinion. When you parent, you teach your children to initiate their own responsibility. It doesn't take very long to learn a habit. How long does it take to learn a habit? Let me ask you this question. Is it possible for a first grader to take a box of socks and put them in their drawer? Can a first grader do that? I tell you what, if you do that 15 days And you give them a box, and it's a box of clean socks, and you've done all the work, and you hand it to them and say, today, I want you to put your socks in this drawer. And then you take them in there, and you help them. You put them in there. See, that's the first day. And then the second day, you do the same thing. And the third day, you do the same thing. How many days do you have to do it before they start getting how to do it? Not too many. Probably pretty bright kids. 15 to 20 times, they got the habit. And from then on, you never have to put their socks away. Ever. They've got the habit. Now, I'm going to ask you, how do you parent? Is that what you do? Do you teach your children to initiate the work that they can do? You see, I think that's exactly what's being taught in this passage about parenting. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready. You get ready. Now, why am I emphasizing that so much? In the Greek, they have what's called a middle voice. We don't use a middle voice very much in English. A middle voice says, with one word, what we say with two or three words, you yourself do this. That's what middle voice says. You yourself and no one else. That's what middle voice says. You yourself and no one else, take your socks and put them in the drawer. I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. Now, we have a lot of things for our children to do. Not just socks. I mean, you think about the hundreds of things that ought to be done every day. And when you think about that, don't you think your life would be easier if you're not putting away socks? And not just socks. Think about all the other things that they could do. Now, they should not be cooking if they're in the first grade. They should not. Some things are not appropriate. But what is appropriate, you ought to do. And if you do this, you're a great parent. And not only that, I would say, not only are you a great parent, you are a godly parent. Because that's what God does. With the children of Israel, if you study carefully the Old Testament, God says, this is what I want you to do. This is exactly how I want you to do it. As a matter of fact, when you read the book of Exodus and Leviticus, you kind of scratch your head and say, why is he going on and on and on about how to do this? He's very explicit. When you brought things to the tabernacle to advance as a sacrifice of the tabernacle, he tells very explicitly what to do. Step one, step two, step three, step four, and he goes through the whole thing. Now, why does God do that? Because the next time, he expects them to do it. That's why. Parents, I'm not kidding. This is how you become a godly parent. And this is how you become holy. Because believe me, if you do these things, you're going to be really different from the community. Believe me. This is how you teach your family to be responsible. You give them the responsibility. You don't just work all day as hard as you can, and at 10 o'clock tonight you drop on the couch and you say, I've worked so hard today. Well, that's your fault. God said, distribute the work. Teach your children how to do this. And you're making them better people for it. You're not a better parent if you do their work for them. That doesn't make you a good parent. That makes you the person who teaches your child how to be irresponsible. And you're convincing them that they don't have to do anything, that you'll do it for them, even if they have the ability to do it. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready to work. You take the initiative, you tell your children. Now, just imagine if you did not have to make your kids do what they already know how to do. Why do you do that, by the way? Why do you do for them what they can do? Tell me why. Why do you do for them what they can do? I can do it better. What else? Yeah, it's easier sometimes for me to do it myself, right? Have you ever said that? That's not good parenting. That's not good parenting. You teach them to take the initiative. Not only should they do it, you shouldn't even have to tell them to do it if you're doing it right. You teach them how to do it day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. And after a while, they know how to do it. As a matter of fact, by the time you get to the 20th day, they're just going to think that's just how the world works. That's just how it works. And you don't even have to tell them because you've instilled into them what's called initiative. Gird up. Get ready. Take the initiative. You don't even have to tell them. That's how you teach them to become an adult. There are a lot of 40-year-old people living at mom's house who are not yet adults. And that should not be. Now that brings me to the second principle. You got the first one, right? All right, here we go. The second capital principle of parenting is this. Do not do for your children what they can do for themselves. That's not complicated. There's nothing complicated about that. Do not do for your child what they can do for themselves. Now, there's a time when you want to help people out and you encourage them and we do things as a team. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, first of all, they believe it's their responsibility and they take the initiative, but they also understand that if they can do it, it's their responsibility and they do it. Now, if you are the only one in your house who can iron a shirt good enough for the 11th grader to wear it to school, there may be a problem. Foxworthy said, "You may be a redneck." But I say, if you have an 11th grader and you're doing all the ironing because nobody can do it right, there is a problem. I mean, I'm not saying there's no skill to ironing. I think there is skill to it. And some people can really do it crisply. It's not your job to always do that because the day's coming when that person needs to leave home. And they need to be prepared to do it. If your 40-year-old needs money and needs your money because he has not worked or because he has not saved money, where do you think he wants to get the money? And you got a problem because he's going to say, "I know I'm 40 years old and I live in the basement, but I don't have any money." And I would say, "Well, I don't have any money either, honey." You got a problem. That needs to be their problem. They take the initiative. They obey the Word of God. Does the Word of God say that you should save money? I can't hear you. Yes. If you don't know that, you haven't read the Bible very much. You should save money. Your children should save money. How old do you have to be to learn to save money? Maybe when you get 21? You get 21, you can learn to save money. How about this? You have 3 oatmeal boxes, and you write on one, "save money," and you write on one, "give money," and on the other one, you write, "spend money." And as soon as they can learn to read, they know one of those is for spending, another one is for saving, and another one is for giving. And if you haven't taught your child something like that, you're in parenting 101. What's the principle? Do not do for your children what they can do for themselves. And if they do that, they're going to have a much better life. If you do it for them, you're going to cripple them. Now think about your Heavenly Father. He teaches us to initiate our own preparation for our future needs. And this is what our Heavenly Father does for us. Now, my Heavenly Father loves me a lot, more than I can imagine. And you love your kids more than they can appreciate. You really do. And if you indulge them and you do all their work for them, they will take you for granted and they will never learn to respect you. And when they get to be 40 years old and they look at you and they say, "What's wrong with you? Why aren't you supplying for me?" It may dawn upon you that you never taught them to respect you. You teach them to respect you by them taking responsibility, and they learn what it's like to have to save and earn and keep and give. Because all that's not fun or easy. Now, do not do for your children what they can do for themselves. My Heavenly Father knows that I can't make oxygen. He already knows that. And you know what he does? He makes it for me because I can't make it. I can't make oxygen. But he loves me so much that he just showers the whole earth with oxygen so I can breathe. And he knows I can't make water. I can't make water. I mean, I know what hydrogen is and I know what oxygen is, but I really don't know how to make water. And if I knew, I don't think I can make it. Who makes it for me? My daddy. My daddy's making all the water that, you know, I lived 70 years and I've been drinking his water for 70 years that he made because I can't make it. But there's a lot of things I can do and he won't do it. You know that my Father in heaven has not fried one egg for me in my entire life. Not one. And there's a lot of things my Father in heaven has not done for me. You know why? Because he enabled me to do it myself. And he respects me enough to have me do it. And you should respect your children enough that you teach them to do it. Now, how many of you believe what I'm telling you? You believe what I'm telling you? The world needs to hear this. If you are going to be a holy Christian, a holy parent, you're going to do the things I just talked about. And you will be so different than your neighbor next door. Because they don't do this. And they don't believe this either. If your fourth grader is brushing her own teeth correctly without your assistance, how many of you have had a fourth grader or you have a fourth or you have a fourth grader? How many? Okay. If your fourth grader can brush her teeth or his teeth without you helping, turn around and give a high five to your neighbor. You did great. It's not complicated, people. Expect your child to do for himself everything he can do without you. And if you are brushing your teeth for her, there may be a problem. Well, God tells us, his children, to do three things. Number one, God tells you and me to get yourself ready. Get ready to get ready. Have the attitude of readiness. Gird up your loins. That's the first thing that God expects from me. God knows that I can pick this up. Now, God knows that I could not write this. And so he wrote it for me. But what does God know that I can do? I can pick it up. I can open it. I can read it. And I can even obey it. Yeah. Get yourself ready. Get your mind sober. That's what he says in the passage. In other words, get your head in the game. And get focused on today's goal to be productive. Now, I would also say this principle. Train your children to think maturely. You know what I mean? Train your children to think maturely. It is not a holy parental attribute for you to talk down to your kids. Baby talk is not appropriate for a 7-year-old. The purpose of parenting, are you ready? This is important, but I'm getting ready to tell you. The purpose of parenting is to get your child ready to leave and be a responsible person, not to stay and depend on you. Our churches, our communities are absolutely full of codependents. You know what a codependent is? A codependent is a person who has the addiction of making other people dependent on them because they desperately need to be needed. That makes children be children when they're 38 years old. You should be striving for your children, getting them ready to leave. And when they leave, they can do everything they need to do to be a successful, responsible, contributing person in the community. If your child is 18 and you're still doing all their work for them, you crippled your child. They need to be doing their own work. They need to do it well. They need to learn how to do it. The way it says in the scripture in 13b is, with complete self-control, put all your hope in the grace that will be yours when Jesus Christ comes. What he's saying is, make sure that you know what the big goal is. Teach your children what the big goal is. You know what children do? They get up in the morning and you know what their goal is? Rice Krispies. Yeah. Cinnamon crisp toast. If you're a holy parent, a godly parent, you talk to them that morning, that noon, that evening, that day, and that week, where we're going, way down the road. What the goal is, way down the road, what you're going to be. Because God told you as a parent to learn your child's bent, to learn how your child thinks, to learn your child's skill. And you can tell from your child's skill what it is they might be really good at. And you begin to form and mold, and you think about the big goals out there. You think they're thinking about that naturally? No. That's parenting. Parents help their children to see the big goal way down the road. Not Rice Krispies. Now, think about the end goal, kids. The day is coming when Jesus is going to come and every one of us is going to stand before him presenting the works that we have done for him. It says in the Bible that you're supposed to think about that constantly. It says in the Bible you and I are supposed to think about that constantly. There is no bigger goal. That's the end game. Now, there are increments along the way. It's hard for a child to grasp the big end goal, but that doesn't mean you don't teach it to them. But you teach them the incremental goals, and in teaching them the incremental goals, you help them to come along. Do you do it for them? Oh, yeah. They've never seen algebra, and it's the first time they've ever seen algebra, and you show them how to do algebra. But you don't do their homework, and you don't send it to school as though they did it. Because they won't learn a thing that way. Now, the purpose of parenting is to get children to leave the nest, able to wisely thrive alone, full of hope. I'm going to say that again. This is what parenting is supposed to do. Are you ready? Now, grass, you might need to write this down, but think about this now. The purpose of parenting is to get children ready to leave the nest, able to wisely thrive alone, full of hope. That's parenting. Is that what you're doing? The purpose is accomplished when you have instilled in him or her to be a self-starter, to be self-sufficient, to be an owner of worthy goals, and to have hope, vision for the future. He says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, the reason I'm telling you that, you might get the idea from when I told you that life just won't be fun if you do that kind of stuff. He says richly to enjoy. I gave you these things, God says, so that you could have these things to richly enjoy. I'm going to give you one other. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And I think we have a slide of that. I recommend, now don't faint, but I want you to hear this. I recommend you to have fun. Can you believe that's in the Bible? Yeah, it says, I recommend having fun because there's nothing better for people in this world than to enjoy eating and drinking and enjoy life. That way we will experience some happiness along the hard road of work, because there is a hard road of work. God's not trying to stamp on your fun. God wants you to enjoy your life. He provided enjoyment for your life. As a matter of fact, if you have the right job, you enjoy it when you go to work. If you have the right job. Maybe you need a new goal if you're shaking your head. Now, I've already taken too much time. You've been so patient with me. And I have more to tell you. I have more to tell you. Oh, a lot more to tell you about parenting. Tell me this. What I told you, does it ring true in your heart? Do you think it's from the Lord? It is from the Lord. If you'll do it, you'll raise really healthy kids. And if you do it, they will be holy and godly because of it. There's a lot at stake. Let's stand and sing Learning to Lean. Learning to Lean on Jesus. Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, having more power than I've ever seen. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Father, may you give us grace for wisdom. Yes. May you give us grace and courage to be parents, to do what must be done, to do it the way you do it. Bless our families, Lord, and protect them. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day and a great week. I'll see you soon.